This morning I'm going to be speaking about something I really don't fully understand. Now, before you leave thinking, why should I listen to this guy? I want to say that there's no way you can either understand it, even if I did explain it. And there's nothing anybody could understand, because today is Trinity Sunday and we're talking about the Holy Trinity. Our doctrine of the Holy Trinity goes something like this. There's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together are one God. Now, that doesn't mean that each is only a third of God. No, each one is completely God. And it doesn't mean that there are three gods, because there's only one God. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God. You figure it out. It can't be. It's a mystery. It's not something our minds can fully understand, but we believe it. Why? Because Holy Scripture teaches it. But we have symbols that tries to the best of our ability explain what we mean or what we think the Trinity can say to us. The one on the upper right, for example, you see the three loops, all one line, one symbol. Three loops in one symbol, three in one, kind of reminds us of the Trinity. How about the one on the lower left? It has those three loops again, that's there. But then it has the circle which doesn't begin or end, one circle, three loops, eternal, trying to say a little more about God. And the one in the middle, that one's really trying to enhance the understanding of the Trinity. God in the middle, only one. And then the little connecting lines to the Father. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. But then the little lines on the outside, the Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. The Father is not the Son. You go figure. And then the one on the right. Now, we have symbols within a symbol. We have, again, the three circles interlocking, kind of three in one. But then within each one, we have a symbol of the Father, the hand, because he is the one who holds the power over all creation. We have Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Son of God. We have the dove representing the Holy Spirit. All these symbols trying to help us to think about the triune God. One God, three persons. I have another one I suspect has never been used in the history of Christianity. I just made it up myself this week. H2O, water. That's the symbol of the Trinity. Now, not because of what you think. You say, oh, I get it. Three digits in one formula? No, that's not the reason. No, the reason is that water is one of the most important means that God has used in the history of salvation, in the history of what God has done among his people. I'm going to make that case with you this morning, how important water is. Because water was important in all three persons' ministries to us. The Father used water, the Son used water, the Holy Spirit used water to make the case and to do what needed to be done for your salvation and mine. So I invite you to work with me today as we look at how God used water to procure your salvation and mine. First of all, let's look at how the Father used water. Start with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. If I were to ask you, what's the first thing God created? You might quickly say, well, it was light. First day, it says, he created light. But look more carefully. Before he created light, what had already existed? Water. The first thing we know of in Scripture that God created was water. Then he created light and all of the other things that followed in creation. Water is pretty important in the creation of the world. The Father also used water in a very important way in the story of the flood. Noah and the flood. Chapter 7 of Genesis, in fact, the story really takes three chapters, 7 through 9 of Genesis. But in 7, it tells us how God used it for judgment on the world. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. That is all except, of course, Noah and his family saved in the ark and the animals that were with him. But it's God's judgment. He had created this beautiful world. Adam and Eve fell into sin. The world kept getting more and more sinful. Finally, God got so fed up and he said, this thing is so messed up, I'm going to get rid of it. But it wasn't just judgment. You can look at that story of the flood and say, boy, God was really mad. He really wiped out those people. But there's also promise there. God was also showing his love for people and the future. He still saw hope for the world and for creation. In chapter 9, then, this is the end of the flood story. He says, I establish my covenant with you today. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And so there we see judgment and mercy, law and gospel, as we say. God showing his wrath, but at the same time promising hope for those who believe and trust in him as well. But the most important way in which God the Father used water in the Old Testament is without a doubt the Exodus, when he led his people from Egypt to the promised land. And of course, when they did that, they came to the Red Sea. How do you get across the Red Sea? All that water, all those people. And so we look at the story of Moses leading them. And when they get to the Red Sea, here's what we read. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. God used water to save the children of Israel and at the same time to destroy the armies of Egypt. Water. Very important. And there are other things as well in the Old Testament, but just a few, an example to show how important water is in the ministry of God the Father on our behalf. Also, very important in the ministry of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus was baptized by John in the water. In the Jordan River. That was, of course, pretty important. But then look at the miracles that Jesus performed using water. First one, was his very first miracle, and that was changing water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And then that story you remember where he's in the back of the boat sleeping and a storm blows up and the boat's flopping and flipping all over the place, and the disciples get panicked. They wake up Jesus up. He admonishes them for their little faith. And then he says, then what does he do? He calms the storm. He quiets the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And then, of course, maybe one of the more famous, even secular people will talk about people who are really good at something as walking on water. Well, that's reference, of course, to one of the miracles of Jesus when he walked on water. Water was really important to Jesus. And not just his miracles. How about his teachings? In his teachings, the story of the Samaritan woman, which incidentally will be the basis of my message to you next Sunday. The Samaritan woman, he comes to the well. There she is. She comes. He's there. She comes to the well, and he strikes up a conversation with her. And then he promises that he could give her water to drink. She questions, well, how do you, the well's deep. You have no way of getting the water. He says, no, I'm talking about that water. He says, I'm talking about living water that will well up within you to eternal life. Another occasion, he's at the tabernacle, and he's yells out loudly so everyone can hear, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within him. And of course, the Great Commission, which many of us have learned and even memorized. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing, which means washing with water. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But unquestionably, the most important role that water played in the ministry of our Lord Jesus was at the crucifixion. You think of the crucifixion, do you ever think of water? Probably not. You might think of blood. You might think of cruelty and suffering. Remember the time when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and we have to understand something about crucifixion. Crucifixion, people did not die from the loss of blood. They died by suffocation. Their bodies would sag and hang down like this. And after a while, they couldn't breathe. And so the only way to take a breath is to pull themselves up, take a breath, and then go down and hold it for as long as they can. Eventually, their arms got tired, and they used their legs then to push themselves up to get that last breath. So now, it was almost time for the Passover, for the Sabbath. And so the soldiers came by and said, we got to hurry this thing along. We're going to break their legs. That way they can't push themselves up. That way they'll die sooner. They came to Jesus, and here's what the scripture says. One of the soldiers, they saw that he was already dead, so rather than break his legs, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Blood, water. We always talk about how we are saved because of the blood of Jesus. Really, in a way, we could say by the blood and water that came out of his side when he gave his life on the cross for your sins and mine. You know, the Roman Catholic friends and tradition have a custom, a tradition in their liturgy that I think is really powerful. One that we've lost. We don't follow it anymore. But at Holy Communion, what they do is the priest, as he's consecrating, will pour some water into the chalice of wine. Why? Dilute it? Too strong? No. It's because of this. To remind us that it was blood and water that came from Jesus' side when he gave his life on the cross for us. You don't think water's important? You and I wouldn't be saved of our sins without it. It's part of Jesus' suffering and death on our behalf. So what about the Holy Spirit then? Water was an important part of his ministry as well. We already pointed out at creation, and we're told that hovering over the waters was the Holy Spirit. What about Jesus' baptism? Jesus goes into the Jordan River to be baptized, and what happens afterwards? The heavens open, and descending upon him in the form of a dove was the Holy Spirit. Also, as we mentioned in John 7, that Jesus talked about living water welling up from within you. And then John goes on and explains, he says, he's talking about the Holy Spirit who was to be given to his people. Water's an important part of the Holy Spirit's ministry and teaching, but nothing is more important, and no use of water is more important for the Holy Spirit than that of baptism. Baptism, according to Titus chapter 3, he, meaning God, saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. There again, you've got the Trinity. The Father pouring out the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Baptism is one of the most important works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he's talking to Nicodemus, who came to him at night in John chapter 3, talks about water in this way. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Baptism. The Holy Spirit involved in your baptism and mine. And then Peter, on Pentecost Sunday, he's preaching to those 3,000 people eventually are saved and come to faith. But as he's preaching, he says to those who say to him, well, then what shall we do? Peter's answer, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul talks about this so often, the Spirit's role in holy baptism. When in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for example, he's talking about the body of Christ, different members as part of the same body. And here's what he says. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The Holy Spirit, using water through baptism for you and for me. And then in Romans chapter 6, we see again the significance of baptism for each of us. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. Now I go through all of this scripture and that just to kind of highlight again to you the importance of water in the ministry of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of it culminating and coming together in your baptism and mine. When water was placed upon you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's the time when you received everything you needed to be reunited with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you were baptized, you became a child of the Heavenly Father. When you were baptized, you were united with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you were baptized, you received His Holy Spirit. You were brought together into a relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why as you remember your baptism now, you can remember that you are were created by God the Father. You were saved and redeemed by Jesus Christ, his Son. You were sanctified by the Holy Spirit and still are today as you receive the word and the sacraments in faith. All of it made possible because of God's use of water and the word in your life and in mine. Freed from sin, you and I now can worship the triune God. You and I can work with the triune God. You and I can witness to the triune God and how he has used water and so many other blessings in our lives to help us again have that relationship with him and with one another and be able to work with him in sharing the gospel with those beyond ourselves. And so whenever you see these symbols, I hope you will remember, oh yeah, those are symbols about the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And whenever you see the next symbol, I hope you will remember your baptism, where you were brought into a relationship with God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I hope every time you get up in the morning and take a shower, I hope you say, oh, I'm baptized. I believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the afternoon when you decide to take a drink of water, I hope you're reminded that you are a child of God and you have been brought into a relationship with the triune God. I hope that on weekends when you go to the lake and take a swim or go out in your backyard and swim in the pool, I hope you see that water and say, whoa, that reminds me of my baptism and the triune God I met in the waters of baptism. And even when you're driving through those nasty Texas rainstorms, you know, when everything's blowing and your windshield's trying to get that water off of your windshield, the wipers trying to get the water off, instead of getting mad at the weather, thank God for your baptism. God, that's what you used with your word to help me come into a relationship with you. I may not fully understand you in everything. That's okay. But I know you love me. I know you forgive me. I know I am your child because you made me yours in holy baptism. So relax in the waters of baptism. They will keep you afloat when the burdens of life would pull you under. And they will carry you all the way to the rivers of eternal life, which Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, promised will be in heaven when we finally get there to share with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a life that will last forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.